Our scripture this morning, if you'd like to turn in your Bibles. By the way, I'm Pastor Todd. I'm one of the pastors here. And it is an honor and a joy to be worshiping. Look at all the people here. Oh, my word. God is good.
All the time.
God is good. All right. Matthew 28, beginning at the first verse. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. For he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead. And indeed, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings," or "rejoice." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers and sisters to go to Galilee. There they will see me." You know, if there's one thing about Easter that it teaches us, is that death is not the end of life. Death is not the end of life. Right. My father passed away 2 years ago this week. And grief is a long thing. It's a long road. And it's still there. That place where he was is still there with me. A little bit. But the Spirit of God heals all hearts. And I can look back on that day, on that funeral day at Westminster Presbyterian Church, and I have to say there was a pretty hilarious moment. So Westminster Presbyterian Church, it's a beautiful downtown church, downtown Grand Rapids. And they have this beautiful new columbarium. Do you all know what a columbarium is? It's like a special place that's a part of the church where people can have their ashes interred. Believe it, this is hilarious. I know it's a little morbid, but that's what Easter is. I mean, it begins with a visit to a tomb, right? So anyway, they have this beautiful columbarium. It's brand new, and it's just on the outside of the church. And then they built these beautiful sliding glass doors that so you can enter the columbarium. So before the worship service, the plan was to inter my dad's ashes at his church, and we got in line. We were supposed to line up to sort of process out the family, and it was the sun was shining, everything was perfect, and we were ready to go. I was going to go out to the columbarium. I wish you could see this. So, and I'm the front in line, and I go like this. Boom! They had it opened, the sliding doors, and they were so clean and perfect. Kawack! I just like this. All right, thank you for laughing. When Mary Magdalene and the other Mary heard the news that Jesus had been raised, they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy. Matthew tells us that they went to the tomb early on Easter morning to see it. Because a tomb, a grave, a place where a loved one has been put to rest, that is a place that we go to. It is sacred ground. It is holy ground. And that's what the Marys were doing. Their beloved friend and teacher had been executed by the Roman Empire because those in power saw his message of the kingdom of God as a threat to their domination. And so after his death on the cross, he was interred in a nearby tomb, and guards were posted there to prevent anyone from disturbing it. When the women reached the tomb, an earthquake stunned the guards. An angel came down from heaven and looked like lightning, rolled the stone away, told them that Jesus had been raised. And when they saw the tomb was empty, they ran to tell the disciples. And on the way, they met Jesus himself, who told them, "Do not be afraid and share the good news." So there was fear. Women felt they had grief and despair that was turned into fear and great joy. Fear? Why fear? Because resurrection, the fact that one man in the middle of history had died and had come back from the grave, changes everything. And joy at the possibility that death had been defeated and new life had come. When I was a young child, one of my favorite Easter hymns was called "Lo, in the Grave He Lay." How many of you know "Lo, in the Grave He Lay"? It goes like this: "Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he rose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose the victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose." Yeah, it's nice. It's a nice song. But here's the thing. So I'm like 4 or 5. I wasn't a child genius or anything. It's not great. So I'm singing this song, and I'm singing, "Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus my..." And I was so confused. I was a young child. I was so confused. I'm like, "Lo, in the grave he..." What the? And I'm thinking, like, what? How does that, you know? And then, like, I knew we had every Easter we had mashed potatoes. There was a gravy boat, and I'm just like, you know, maybe it's like coming up, and then the gravy dripping off, and then up, and then he like shoots it. I was so confused. It's confusing. The resurrection. It's a bit confusing. Mm. And I don't remember when I figured out that my favorite Easter song was referring to a grave and not gravy. But since then, I've spent many years studying and practicing Christianity. I have a Master of Divinity degree. I have a Doctor of Ministry degree. They call me Doctor now sometimes. If someone wants a fit. No, I'm just joking. So, and so for this year, I started preparing for this sermon like over a month ago, and I bought this giant 800-page book that was the latest scholarship on the resurrection, and I've written this sermon like four or five times. It's had several titles. You can ask our office manager, Craig Smedley, how many titles this sermon has had. And then this past Sunday, I was struggling with it, and the Maundy Thursday service was coming, and for some reason I had this thought, Louis C.K., he had some conversation with Conan O'Brien, and maybe that will help me. And so I'm watching this YouTube video, and Conan and Louis C.K. are talking about this song from Bruce Springsteen, and they're going, oh, you remember, yo, when Bruce Springsteen goes, yo, yo. And Carlos, Deacon Carlos, walks in, he knocks quietly, like knocks on the door of the study. And then, you know, my computer is like hearing, yo. And so I explain the situation to him, and he says to me this. He goes, Pastor Todd, I think your sermon needs a resurrection. See, that is what I need my people for. That is what I count on you for. Easter is hard. Easter, I don't know if y'all realize this, but when you try to like think about it, to grasp, it is really hard. And here's the thing about it. It's like at the core of Christian faith. It's like it's the reason why we're all here, and it's so hard. And, you know, did it really happen?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. All right. You know, okay, so then what does that mean? Anyway, I think I overthink things sometimes a little bit. And maybe, I don't know. But my point is that in terms of grasping it with the rational mind, we all have this rational mind that wants to understand things and bring them close and put them in neat little boxes so that we can control and manage them. So our lives are nice and neat and tidy and they all make sense. I want that. Who doesn't want that? Could everything just be in a nice little box just for one day? Please. But what I've come to realize is that it's not made to do that. It isn't meant to be grasped or understood or controlled or managed by us human beings. The resurrection isn't about a neat, predictable box, satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. It's not a question to be answered, but a mystery to be lived. The message of Easter is that death is not the end of life, that there is a world to come. The book of Revelation describes it as a new Jerusalem. Revelation says, see, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away. Easter says that this new Jerusalem, this world to come, is real. And that a piece of that New Jerusalem has broken in to this hurting, confusing mess of a life. It's not all that way, but sometimes it is. It has broken in to this world. Through Christ's resurrection, it's like an alternate reality that disrupts every system of domination and oppression, every box, every category, every system of injustice and death, every attempt to strip away our humanity and deprive us of our hope, it disrupts that. Some scholars call this reality the impossible. Nobel Prize winning president of South Africa, Nelson Mandela, died this past December. And he once said, "It always seems impossible until it's done." Mandela's life connected the possibility of the impossible. The end of apartheid in South Africa, and the end, his vision is even bigger than that, the end of all systems of domination and oppression. On April 20, 1964, Mandela was on trial for sabotage, and he was facing the death penalty, and at that trial, he gave a rather famous speech, and he said, "I have fought against white domination. I have fought against black domination. I have cherished the ideal of a democratic and free society in which all persons live together in harmony and with equal opportunities. It is an ideal for which I hope to live for and to achieve, but if needs be, it is an ideal for which I am prepared to die." Easter is the unfolding of the impossible into possibility. It is the unexpected eruption of God's world into this one. Ending apartheid in South Africa? Impossible until it was done. A black president of the United States? Impossible until it was done. Finding a job in Rhode Island? I don't know. We're going to have to pray a little bit about that one. That's going to need some extra resurrection power. It is. Ending corruption in government, creating schools in our poor neighborhoods where students and teachers can perform at the highest levels, creating a life-giving, life-sustaining, multiracial, multicultural, open and affirming church in downtown Providence. Impossible, except there's a door to the impossible. The testimony that Jesus was raised from the dead and the evidence of this miracle, the impossible possibility in our lives and the lives of billions of people around the world for thousands of years who have staked their lives on the claim that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed.
Amen.
So what is the impossibility you are facing in your life today? What is it? What is the thing you are telling yourself you just cannot do? It cannot be done. What is the thing you are afraid of? What is the thing you're telling yourself, your family, your church, your coworkers that could never happen? It could be beyond that fear. It could be beyond that grief. It could be beyond that limitation lies the joy you've been longing for. I find myself at that limit sometimes when I'm watching Louis C.K. and Conan O'Brien singing to each other on YouTube. I think I've reached the limit. And I get tired and I feel like I can't go on. But it's at this limit that God calls me and calls you to step out beyond ourselves, to step out beyond what we think, where we think we can go, to humble ourselves and wait for God's Spirit to empower us to deeds beyond what we think we can do. To step out beyond, maybe it's just for a minute or two, our narrow little worlds, our virtual realities where everything is comfortable, controlled, and entertaining. To step out beyond this world and into resurrection reality, into the world to come, the world of our God, in whom all things are possible. The world of our God, in whom all things are
possible.
The world of our God, in whom all things are
possible.
Amen.